good to be reminded of that every Lord's Day. That's why we come to recognize him. He's our Savior. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers. I'm glad I can be here today. You know, they used to tell me over and over when I was younger, just wait until you get older, and you'll be amazed how time flies. I used to say, I'm going to wait. Well, I can't wait anymore. Time flies. Time flies. Preacher was preaching away, and he kept looking at his watch. I thought, after a while, he stopped and looked at his watch, and the little girl looked up at his mom. Mommy, what? Why is he looking at his watch like that? Oh, she said, that'll mean nothing. Oh, that'll take a while. That'll take a while. Hey, what time is it? I do want to thank you for not being watch lookers, because I'm up here and I watch. But you know, when you really think about life and you think about some of us who have, at my point in time, as I look at it, I probably, really, have a little more time, if you will, to redeem, to buy back, to purchase, to invest in. Some of you here have some more time. You have a lot of time ahead of you, maybe, to do and make an investment as far as your life is concerned and time is concerned. But I want you to understand the text, what you and I read today. Paul is giving to you and me as Christians a proper view of time, a proper view of time, which ought to become the very model of your life, of each and every day, as you live it and as we live it. In the King James and other translations, it says redeeming the time, redeeming the time. Let's suppose that you started receiving in your checking account $1,440 a day, every day. Everybody starts shaking their head. Yeah, that sounds good. $1,440 a day you got, and it was put into you automatically into your checking account, no strings attached, only one string. Every day you had to spend $1,440 a day. If you didn't spend it, it wasn't rolled, it was discounted out of your checking account. You had to spend it. I believe that Brother Tim has a vacation program. You have so many days. However, he has to take advantage of them in the year in which they're granted. He can't carry them over, right? So there's no carrying over of this money. You don't spend it, it's taken from you. Got it? Well, let me tell you this morning, if you will, that you and I, as far as life is concerned, has every day invested into your life 1,440 minutes a day. 1,440 minutes you have been given into your bank, and that bank is called time. It's called time. And every morning you are credited with 1,440 minutes. It rules off just, however, this one particular criteria. You don't use it, you lose it. You can't carry over one day into another day. In other words, you're invested with it, and if you fail to invest into that day for whatever good purpose and whatever good investment you may make, you're not going to draw on it tomorrow. It's gone. Somebody has written and said, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only asset we have, and we need to spend it wisely. Did you notice in your text it says, be wise? In the time frame of life, in the aspects of it? You see, Paul, in this context, as this morning, is going to give to you every aspect, if you will, of the significance of time. He makes it clear, if you will. We're not to be participating in the world, in the darkness, in the aspects. We are children of the light. We're to be walking in the light. Light makes everything visible. It doesn't matter what it is, the aspects of that. It exposes it, and you and I are to expose it. You and I are to expose the darkness. We are in here, and every time you go, wherever you go, as the light of the world, you should be exposing the darkness that other people are walking in. You and I are children of the light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And because of that, the blood of Jesus Christ continuously cleanses us from all sin. The aspects of it Everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, arise, awake, sleeper. In other words, you read Proverbs, you read a lot about the lazy, the people who sleep all day, the people who don't do this and don't do that. You and I, we're given a life. We're given one day. We're given one day at a time. We're not promised tomorrow. We're promised today. And the aspects of that is you need to live it wisely. But we need to wake up because some of us have, if you have, you have died to the aspect of time. You just go through a day, no intended purpose, no intended goals, no intended reaching out, nothing in within yourself that becomes a driving motivation force of that day. You just go through the day. Another day. Another day. Another day. Another month. Another year. And pretty soon we look back at our lives and said, what in the world have I done? What have I accomplished? What good have I really done? How many lives have I touched? How many people are blessed because I lived, etc., etc., etc.? And Christ then will shine on you. In other words, he is the light, right? We radiate that light, don't we? As he indeed is in us, we radiate the light of Christ. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. In other words, we need to wise up. Maybe. I'm 80. Except we don't look it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But the point is, you know, my time frame of investment has been made. What have I invested? What have I accomplished? What legacy have I left? And what will my wife, my children, and other people remember me for? And I need to make sure that I'm making the most of my time, redeeming my time. Right? The days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, in that time frame, I am to be comprehending what God's will is for my life. What is his will for my life? In aspects of that, okay? That God has invested it and given it to me. The Bible, then, Paul tells us, as Christians, not talking to the world, he's talking to me. He's talking to me, what are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with your time, Bill? And he's going to, by strong implication, he's going to try to motivate me in the aspect of my conduct to take the time that I'm allotted and use it wisely. Why? Because the days we live in are evil. Aren't they? Yeah, they are. So there are two views in the context of Scripture about time. Two different Greek words. They completely mean two different things, okay? They are translated as it is, time, as you read the Bible, but they mean very different things. One of them, the most common one, simply implies two, if you will, succession of moments. Succession of moments, or periods of time, as they may be allotted, etc. But the one that Paul uses here in the text refers to a definite portion of time to which some definite responsibility, duty, or work is allotted and belongs to that time. It's not time to be wasted. It's time to wake up too. It's the time that there's something to be done. God intends for it to be done in that time that is allotted to me. And I'm allotted only so much time to do what the will of God is for my personal life. The other one, as it is aspect of it, is translated sometimes season or opportunity. That's how that Greek word is translated. Both are found in Galatians chapter, if you will, chapter 6 and verse 10. Both of those words are combined in this one word when it says, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have life, as we have the opportunity that life gives us, let us be doing good unto all men, but especially unto those. Hey, you remember Jesus left us an example that we should follow him? He washed the disciples' feet showing humility, didn't he? You know what the Bible tells me? You know what it declares? It says that Jesus went about doing good. What? What? That means that Jesus in that time frame of his life that God gave to him on earth was about going about and doing good. That was what he set the example, doing good. In fact, Titus chapter 3, verse 14 says, our people must learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs. What? We need to learn. Learn what? Learn to do good. Learn to do good deeds in pressing needs, and therefore to be not unfruitful. In other words, if we're not doing any good, we're not making any difference in people's lives, we're not going about doing and helping, encouraging, and seeing the opportunity, then you got to be looking for them. You can't be all wrapped up in yourself. Like God, if you're focused only on your mountains, you only see the opportunities. We all have our mountains, don't we? But you see, God has called us to be fruitful. Hasn't he? So what does he say? You have to learn to engage in doing good deeds to meet pressing needs. Why? So you don't become unfruitful. What did Jesus do to the fig tree that had no leaves, no fruit on it? My Bible tells me he cursed it. Is that what your Bible says? You know what the Bible says according to Matthew, John 15? Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he said, you cannot do nothing. But by that fruit, he says, my Father, God, is glorified. So what does God intend? That we be fruit bearers. We're bearing fruit. How do we bear fruit? By doing good. In fact, those two words are used by Jesus himself when the apostles ask him, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? And the Lord used both of those words. He says, it is not for you to know the times. Chronos. It's not for you to know the times. Then he says, or the seasons. Kairos. It's not for you to know the times or the season. Two different Greek words. The word we're emphasizing this morning from this text is season. Opportunity. Context. Not moments. Not seconds. We're looking at life as a whole. The whole process, the whole structure of time. As you and I look at successions of moments, we watch our clocks. How many of you set your clock an hour for it? It must be because you're here. I remember certain people, didn't matter what, you could always count on them. They would forget to change the clocks. So far, I have not found that habit or that aspect here. But the latter word that Paul uses here indicates an epoch of time to which there's something to be done and accomplished. Work to become, an event to belong to. Something that is involved with the time. That it's just not time to waste, it's time to be used. It's time to invest. It's time to be involved. It's time to be active in. It's there something. So in our text, redeeming the time doesn't refer to making the most of the moment, but taking a hold of the whole special significance of life as a whole. What is the significance of my life as a whole? What is it? You evaluate that wisely. You evaluate that carefully. You evaluate that in succeeding events as a season for something that I specifically am wanting and need to be doing. The duty we involve, responsibilities are involved. Paul uses of time in the singular, not times. He uses it as a singular. Because why? He's referring to a whole, not a part, not to a moment, not to a second, not to an hour, not to a month, not to the whole of life. From the day I was born in 1939 to the day I die is my spectrum of season of life. That's my season that God's going to give me. I need to be using it wisely. And as the whole of one's life, as an opportunity in that season becomes clear, that has to be a purpose. How many people out there today, do you know, honestly have a purpose for why they live their lives? You realize only the Christian has a clear, eternal, unbelieving, endless purpose for why you and I live. I'm serious. Only Christians have been given the privilege and the honor of knowing what investment and how valuable time is. Because you see, what you and I are doing as the attitude about is you have a different attitude about time than the world does. You see time differently. You come up with different answers. As if I would ask any one of the people out there, you would find them coming up with different answers and trying to search or find some real purpose for their lives because they don't have any. Blessed is the man who goes around in circles. They'll become a big wheel. Some people are like a fence. They run around a lot, but they don't go anywhere. We have direction. We have purpose. We have a reason to get up every day. We're there because we have an unbelievable, endless time frame of life. Your time is invested in a time that will never end. There's no end to your time, Abel. You're an eternal being. You're investing not just in the now, in this aspect of the whole of your life. You're investing in all that is yet to come. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Yeah, it is. Solomon said and summed it all up. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Let's hear the whole conclusion of the thing. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. What? That's pretty conclusive, isn't it? Didn't I narrow it down? Did that make it pretty simple? The whole duty of man is to fear God, honor him, respect him, and keep his commandments. You know, the Bible tells us very clear, the commandments of God are not grievous. Why? Because every commandment of God is there for your good, so you can enjoy your time here on earth. It protects you. It secures you. You keep God's word and secure it and walk in his will and walk in his command, you will walk in, your steps will be wise. You will walk in security. You can lay down at night and have a good night's rest. You don't have to worry and fret and be anxious about whatever because you know God is with you. He's for you. And every time you have a need, you know he's going to help you. He's going to be there. Why? Because he's a faithful father. It makes all the difference in the aspects of your life. You look at life differently. You can get up in the morning and rejoice in it and say, thank you, God, for another day because I'm here to praise you, honor you, live for you, and fulfill your purpose for why you gave me breath in the first time. You know, the aspect, of course, is that conclusion. Life does have a conclusion. And only what you and I do for Jesus Christ is going to have an effect on the conclusion. Because that's the only thing that's going to last forever. That's the only thing that's eternal, isn't it? Yeah. Paul sums life like this. I like Paul's little summary because it's very simple. He doesn't make it very dramatic. Doesn't make it overbearing. What does he say? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 10, verse 31, whatever then you eat or drink, that's pretty simple. Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to glorify God. Wow. Is that simple? You know, he could have said, whether you do, you know, give some majestic jumping off the mountains or flying to the moon or doing whatever, whatever you might do. But no, he says, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, just do it to turn the spotlight on God. Glorify him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's not difficult. I have a reason. My purpose for living in the whole is that I'm living for God. Because it's in him we move and have our being. We're his offspring. He's not too far from any one of us, least happily if we'll seek after him, we find him. The aspects of that is unbelievable. So for me to live, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That's pretty simple. Doesn't make it difficult. People have a need, a reason. They have to have a purpose. They tell us that that's driving most young people insane today, this younger generation today. They have no idea what the life is all about. That's why they're on drugs. That's why they're drinking, becoming alcoholics. That's why it's pornography and all the aspects of sex, trying to find a fulfillment. Did you hear Bill Clinton's testimony of why he had an affair with Kalinsky? You know, did you hear what he said? Because his job needed some release. I mean, that's what he said. How corrupt can you get in a political realm? And how much influence has that had on our society? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. You know that, don't you? And don't tell me his immorality hasn't affected our culture. And he'll have a legacy. His life as a whole is combined in that aspect of foolishness that he performed and the price he paid because of what he has done. You see, time has to be something that is preparational. There's got to be something preparational. You're going to plant a crop to get it in the fall. What do? Dan, you have to prepare the soil. I bet Chris this last week, because of the frozen ground, was out fertilizing. Can't wait till the mud comes, can we? No, we got to get out there and do it. We got to make preparation. What we prepare? For a harvest. When do you expect to harvest? It's not going to come right away, is it? It's got time, doesn't it? And life is that way, isn't it? What are you preparing for? What is your preparation for beyond this aspect? You see, the Greek word Paul uses is to tell us that we are spending time that is invested beyond time. You need me to say that again? We're living in this time because we're making an investment beyond time. The Bible says, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what he said? Seek first, why the kingdom? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter, if you will, 12, 28 and following, that there's one more time God is going to speak. And anything that can be shaken is going to be removed. It's going to go. It's gone. But the only thing he says that cannot be shaken, that will never be removed, that is eternal in its very essence, is the kingdom of God. Well, what's the kingdom? You. Me. So what are we doing? I'm living my life and investing into a time that isn't even here yet, but it's going to come. And my whole life is invested in kingdom work. How about that? Why are we here in Grand Ledge? What's our purpose? Is our purpose here to just rent a building, come here and assemble? Is our purpose to try to do and make an impact on the society that we have right here in Grand Ledge? Is that why we're really here? Are we comfortable with what we have accomplished in the past? If our legacy is going to be and we're going to feel good about what we have done, are we really accomplishing what God really wants the church at Grand Ledge to accomplish? What is his purpose? The purpose that God gave to the church is very clear. Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to observe everything, and I will be with you unto the end of time. Well, Jesus is with me now, and I'm going to be with him then. Does that make sense? The church has a purpose. It's the intention of our time to prepare us for what lies beyond that time, and during that time, we're to succeed. If I'm going to succeed, it's amazing to me hear Christians talk about success. What makes one successful? Well, I got to have a good job, I got to be doing this, I got to have a good name, I got to be a CEO, I got to do this and go there. Let me tell you something. If you don't make it to heaven, you're a failure. You can succeed all you want to in this life, but if you don't make it to heaven, you have failed. And if all your eyes are doing and all you're investing and looking at is being a success in this world and that's it, then that's all you're going to get. Because my Bible says, lay not for yourselves up treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Invest in the time that's yet to come. Brother, we got work to do here in Grand Ledge. There's souls to be won. There's people to know the gospel and come to know Jesus Christ and know the joy of it. And we need to be investing our lives, our time, our energy, the talents that God has given us. And if we fail to do that, we have failed for being here. I'm talking to me. Seriously, I've never been so much on fire in all my life. If you can meet with a man like that, I just thank God for what we're doing. I've needed that for so long, to be like a little light lamp, whatever, to get burning inside of me again. I want to go to heaven. But when I go to heaven, I want to take as many people with me as I can, because Satan is working his heart to take as many people to hell as he can. And we're the detour, we're the means by which we can intercept in people's lives and open their door to light so they can see their darkness and repent and turn back to God. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? So that alderman, an all-embracing end of time, here is made up of, yes, multitudes of immediate moment, while life as a whole is a season for glorifying God. Life is broken up into smaller parts and periods. Each has some special purpose appropriate to the lesson that might be there for the day. Solomon summed it up very clearly in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. Solomon says, there is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stone. A time to embrace, a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time for war, a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I've seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. Verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning until the end. You want to live forever? God set in your heart eternity? Or are you just living for the now? Because if you and I are truly using our time wisely and redeeming it, we're investing it not in just today, but we're investing it into heaven itself, into eternity. Isn't that right? We're investing it into the eternal element of God's eternal purpose. We're here. The songwriter said, dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus, a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory shall shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory shall shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. We got time. We got time to make a difference in Grand Ledge. How much time? I don't know. But I know we need to use it wisely. I know we're here to do the Lord's business, and we need to be about doing it to the best of our ability. I just pray you'll join your hearts and minds with the leadership, the elders, and those who are setting goals and planning and trying to reach this community this summer in a mighty way. That you'll pray about it, and when time comes for you to become involved with it, that you'll step forth and say, I want to do the Lord's will for Grand Ledge. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for the lost. Do it for people who need Jesus Christ. The lost people, they have no hope. You do. I do. We have a great opportunity, and God has given it to us. And then the aspects of that opportunity in that season of life, yeah, I'm really healthy. Doc says I'm healthy as a healthier than he is. That's what he said. I'm healthier than he is. So how much time has God allotted me? Well, I know I've come. No, you can't look back to the past. We can't look in the rearview mirror. We have to look to the future, right? What time is God going to give me at this point in time to really make an impact on Grand Ledge? I'm going to see what he can do with me. Amen? Just look and see what he can do with us, okay? The invitation is moment by moment. We're just going to sing the chorus. We're going to sing it through twice. If you are God's and you belong to him, thank God for that. If you're not a Christian, then you have heard today what God's view of time is. Because God isn't concerned about this time frame. He's concerned about whether or not you're going to spend eternity with him. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you, right? So you could have that privilege of turning this time into an endless time. Here we stand and sing together. Mm.